Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We're glad you tuned in today, and we're looking forward to God revealing some good things to each of our life. Something the Lord laid on my heart was talking about a hiding place, and there's a scripture in Psalms 91 we're going to look at here in a moment, but, you know, we all need that place that we can go to, and it's a place of safety and a place of security. And as Kaylee mentioned earlier, and also, you know, we've all played hide and seek as a kid. You know, and I know that was a lot of fun. And everybody liked getting to home base, right? I mean, you always ran to home base and, you know, hopefully you didn't get, you know, injured. Especially we used to play hide and seek in the dark, and that's a little dicey sometimes. And most people run onto a rock or a tree before they made it home, but that was a lot of fun. But all of us probably had a secret hiding place as a kid. You know, a place we could go to. I remember living on a farm. I had several. You know, one was up in the hay mow and different things. But it's a place where you could go that no one could really find you. Now, David, in the Bible, he had to have a secret hiding place because he had to get away from King Saul. King Saul was jealous of him, and the book of Psalms talks a lot about when David wrote these Psalms, and they were things that he sung about how he had to run and to hide and to find a place where he'd get away because Saul was trying to kill him. They were really playing hide and seek for keeps. We played for keeps, but we never killed anybody when we played. But they were looking at this, and it's a time of trial. And I think we all can relate to trials that come into our life. And he learned how to put his trust in God. See, when trials come, sometimes they push us away from God, but hopefully they draw us to God. See, a lot of people blame God for their problems, but God's not the problem. God's the answer. We're going to see that today. So to David, God soon became his hiding place. And when God becomes our hiding place, it's a place of immunity. And our enemies cannot touch us. And I believe we all want to get to that place of immunity in our life. So let's look at Psalms chapter 91. I'm going to read verses 1 to 7. And this is a very familiar passage in Psalms. A lot of people go to this psalm, especially if they have some problems going on in their life. And I encourage you to highlight this psalm in your Bible. Turn to it. You know, look to it every now and then. Meditate on it. Get it down in your heart. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall on your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you." I think this passage is very appropriate for the days that we live in today. Please join me in prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit just working in each of our lives. Even though we're separated by distance, we know the Holy Spirit draws all things together. Lord, we just thank you for the penetrating power of your word. I pray for them words to pierce and penetrate in each of our hearts and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, I ask for a special stirring of the gift you put inside of me. I want to use it for your glory, not my own. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, first point I want to look at today is that we need a safe place. We all need a safe place. Now, a lot of people make fun of that analogy today because a lot of people need a safe place and because they don't know how to cope with problems. But I know this for a fact that, you know, many bad things can happen to good people. And we as the people of God need to understand the concept that we need to find a safe place, a place that we can go to God. See, we all have a common enemy. You think, you know, your problems are different than my problems, and they might be a little bit, but our common enemy is the devil. And he tries to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to come into our life to hold us back. And, you know, Satan basically does not want us to find God, number one. And let's say we have found God. Well, then his next job is to try to stop us from fulfilling the call that God has on our life. See, you may not be aware of this, but God has a call on your life. You know, you may not, you know, be called to be a pastor, an evangelist, a pastor, teacher, or apostle, But God has his hand on you, and there's a lot of different callings that God has called people into the body of Christ to be able to do things for his glory. And see, but Satan doesn't want you to find that, because when you find that calling, it's a place where you're going to understand why God put you here, and it's going to bring fulfillment to your life. And when you're fulfilled, you're not going to go out and look for other things in the world to try to make you happy. See, his goal, he has the two D's, I call them, that Satan tries to do. He tries to deceive us, and he tries to distract us. The first thing that he tries to do when he deceives us, that's wrong thinking. There's a lot of wrong thinking that we have, even as a Christian. You might have been a Christian 10, 15, 20 years, but that doesn't mean your thinking's right. See, we have to make sure that our thinking lines up with the Word of God and what God says about it. You know, a lot of people have some wrong ideas about God and what he does. They believe that God brings sickness and disease. And if you read the Bible, we see it comes from somewhere else. You know, God, some people believe that, you know, God wants them poor so it makes them holy and spiritual. But, you know, God wants to bless us. So there's a lot of wrong thinking we have. And that wrong thinking will cause us to interact with this world in an improper way. Another thing, after we get past the wrong thinking, is that the enemy also tries to distract us. And this is one that I believe that every Christian probably faces, is the facts of distraction. When we are distracted, we have broken focus. See, the Bible says to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And the reason why we're not being perfected or growing in Christ is because we've allowed ourselves to be distracted. Like my wife shared that thing they did last summer with the girls, her and a lady or two in the church. You know, they made these boxes, you know. Granted, they were big and they were in the way a lot. I had to move them around. They were in my way. But it was a great time for the girls to learn about distractions, because we can get distracted so easy. And that broken focus causes us to fail and fall short of where God wants us to be. So in finding that, we all need that safe place we can run to. Now, I remember back, and you probably can too, that when you were a little kid, you know, when you felt scared, you used to run to your parents for safety. You know what I mean? It's so cute to see a little kid, you know, grabbing a hold of their parents' leg, and they just feel real safe there. But did you notice as you got older, you had to run from your parents for safety? At least I did. You know, I got in trouble all the time from different things. I wasn't a pastor back when I first got born in this world. I had to be born again before I stepped into that calling. You know, so I remember, you know, trying to get away, you know, and run. And, you know, I didn't want the yardstick or whatever happened to be handy at that time. You know, I was spanked several times in my life. You may find that hard to believe, but it is true. You know, I remember one time I must have been 3 or 4 years old. And my great-grandma used to babysit me, and she was up in her 70s before she even took me on as a project. You know, but I'll be honest, you know, I was her favorite, and, you know, I think all my sisters, they know that. But anyway, one day, all the neighbor kids were in school, and I was younger than then. I was one of the youngest in the neighborhood. And some of the ladies in the neighborhood wanted to get together and drink coffee and eat pie, and that just didn't sound like a whole lot of fun for a 3 or 4-year-old. So what I did is I went under my grandpa's bed, and fortunately it was next to the wall, so I only had one place to protect. But I still remember my grandma coming after me with the broom, trying to shush me out of there. And then she couldn't get me, so she called the neighbor lady who was putting on the little party, and then she came over, and here these two, you know, ladies were coming after me with brooms, trying to get me out of there. To be honest, all I remember was the broom. I know I had to come out because I'm here today, and I don't remember if I went to the party or not, but I'm sure I had to. I'm sure they got me out of there somehow. But, you know, that was my safe place at the time, and I'll tell you what, it took a lot of work to get me out of there. And see, we need to have those safe places with God. See, the enemy would like to capture us, this passage says, and basically there's four things that are kind of mentioned here. First is the snare of the trapper. Now, a lot of times when you think of a trap, you think of some of those cartoons. Remember, they put a box there and they got a stick under it and they tie a string to the stick. I mean, you'd have to be a pretty dumb rabbit to fall for that trick. At least I think they would. But that's not the snare this is talking about. This is talking about a snare that is hidden, and it's maybe covered with leaves and things like that. You have no idea that it's there and it's ready to get you. And see, that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to set snares that we don't see coming And maybe we allow ourselves to get deceived and distracted and broken focus. You know, I remember, you know, times in my life where I'd walk into things. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Have you ever walked into a, you know, the old parking meters? Or maybe a streetlight pole. Maybe you're playing with your phone and you walk into something. See, that's what happens. And see, what this is talking about, if you get your foot in that snare, you're caught. You're devil bait, shall we say, and he's going to come to get you. See, Satan has him everywhere. But see, when we come to God and get close to him, he will watch over and protect us and make us aware of those things. I thank God for the Holy Spirit and the witness of the Holy Spirit inside my life. And that same Holy Spirit lives inside each and every Christian that is born again. And that's why it's important that we learn also how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's times in our life where I felt that nudge and maybe I never responded, and then a situation happened to me. It didn't destroy me, but I know that I missed it. You know, repent, dust yourself off, get going and start again. Next, it talks about the problem of deadly pestilence. See, pestilence is talking about a virus or a disease or something going on. And there's been a lot of things that's been through mankind over the years that's tried to wipe us out. It couldn't, and God's not going to allow that to happen. But there's a, you know, a lot of people are afraid of a virus right now. It's floating around in our country, you know. And I know we have to be smart about things, but my first trust is in God. I believe in the protection of God. And then we need to draw close to him and be able to come over his covering. Next, it talks about a terror by night. Now, I don't know about you, but especially if you're faced with a big decision or there's something going on in your life that you have to decide, waking up in the middle of the night is the worst thing. And you maybe hear a noise, or you're afraid or something, and you got things going on. And that terror, it's kind of talking about a wild animal maybe an attack. And you can imagine sleeping outside in some of them dangerous places where the wolves and things are. That's kind of what this is like. And see, that terror comes by night. Night's a very tough thing, especially in the middle of the night. And that's where we really need to calm our fears and really draw close to God and really know that God is our protector. Then it also mentions one very common we know is arrow by day. See, the Bible says in Ephesians that the enemy shoots fiery darts, and that's why we need to use the shield of faith. See, them fiery darts are trying to attack our heart, and they're trying to attack our mind. It's trying to get to deceive us and distract us and to really hurt us and maybe get mad at God. Have you ever been mad at God before? I have. David was in the book of Psalms. You know, these things happen in life. Sometimes we get mad at God. God can handle it. You know, he knows that these things happen. And all we do is say, Father, I repent for being angry at you and doubting you. We know that your ways are better than my ways. I mean, we all have to come to that point. And see, sometimes, like I said, God gets blamed for things that he didn't really do. You know, I'm reminded of a story that I was told. I've, you know, been saved 30 years, and this happened a little before I was saved. But it's a story about Corrie Ten Boom, and maybe you have heard the story. She knew that the Jews in her country needed a safe place. And sometimes we all need that. What had happened through Hitler and the German army, they were going into other countries and taking them over. And they attacked the Netherlands. And what happened, you know, and they were even called the Axis of Evil, and it was a demonic thing. Hitler done a lot of evil things in killing the Jews and things like this. It's just outright evil. But what would happen is that when they went into these countries, for whatever reason, you know, see, that's what the devil does. See, the Jews were considered God's own people, the promised ones. You know, now, you know, the church has taken on that mantle that we're chosen, we're called out, and we need to walk in that anointing. You know, the Jews' covenant was good, but the Christian covenant's better, so don't sell yourself short here, Christians. But what happened to the Jews here is that when they went in there, they would grab them up, and they would put them in concentration camps, and then they would send them to the fire, and they would be burned to death. And so Corrie Ten Boom and her family, they didn't like that. They knew from Scripture that God had his hand on the Jewish people, and that if you bless them, you're going to be blessed. And see, we need to understand that still today, we need to stand with the nation of Israel as a country. And I thank God, you know, that we're doing that now and keeping that relationship strong. But her dad had a jewelry store, and he was also a watchmaker, which was a beautiful cover for them because people could come into the doors and things like this. It was a public place, and they would do is they had a secret hiding place built in the house. It was a place where the Jews would have to stand up and would only hold 6 people at a time. So it was a smaller hiding spot. But, you know, it probably couldn't draw attention to themselves. So they, you know, had built this, and they would get food, and they would try to help the Jews and different things around the community. But this was a way. They had an underground system built where they would get the Jews out of the country to a safe place. And maybe that's what we need today. Maybe we need to get out of our situation and get to a safe place. Well, what happened then, there was a Nazi sympathizer in town, and they ratted him out. So the Jews, the Hitler would come after them. And see, what happened is they had a little button that was a buzzer. I'm guessing it was a button they pushed. Whenever the Nazis would come and try to do an inspection, they would hit this button. And the Jews had to get to that safe place within 60 seconds. So what happened the time that the Nazi sympathizer turned them in, that the Germans came and arrested the Ten Boom family. And they took them to prison. But those 6 Jews that were hiding in a safe place never was found. And later on, some other people came and got them out of there to a safe place. Well, her family all perished in prison other than her, whether from health reasons or maybe some of them actually went to the fire. Now, what happened with her is that she was dismissed or let go out of the concentration camp. Later, they said it was a clerical error. I believe it was a God thing. The same girls that she was with, held in prison, 1 week later, was sent to the fire. They all perished. But God spared Corrie Ten Boom. See, she had sowed a lot of good seed in her life, and God had a call on her. I believe God has a call on you today, and you need to step into that safe place, and you need to put your trust in God. Because when we do that, then we start to walk in His blessing, and we need to get to that place. The next point I want to look at is, who is our safe place? Whoops, we've talked about God, and we need to figure out, you know, who that safe place is. When I picture a safe place, I lived on a farm, and I picture a baby animal running to mommy. Now, I loved baby calves. I just loved to pet them and touch them. I mean, they were cute. You know, I got a big kick out of it. But I was smart enough to know when that baby calf was next to mommy, I didn't go over there and pet that calf. Because not all moms can see that I'm a nice guy. You know, they couldn't see. Now, maybe they smelled hamburger on my breath. I don't know. But, you know, the idea of that picture. And I want to show that next picture that came up there. And, you know, also the scripture talks about covering us with His wings. Here I think this is the Decorah Eagle, one of the Decorah Eagles up there in Iowa. And, you know, it shows the eagle with its wings protecting its baby. I don't know about you, but how many would like to pet that little birdie right now? You know, I don't think any of us would. I would not stick my hand. I was driving out to my parents' farm a year or so ago, and eagles have been coming around here more now. But over in the cornfield right next to me was an eagle standing. Oh, man, that thing looked like it was 4 foot tall. I mean, just a big bird. And, you know, with that beak, there's no way that I would stick my hand in there. And see, when we see that the fact that that we're under His wings, you know, we can have that kind of protection. That's what God is for us. And that's why we need to make sure our hiding places is the who. You know, like playing hide and go seek, you know, there's places we can go and can maybe cover up with things. You know, those are things in the natural we can do. But I'm talking about a spiritual hiding place right now is what we need to get to. And we need to make sure the Lord is our hiding place. You know, I remember the commercial. You know, I think it's a Geico commercial, but have you ever watched a commercial or a TV show where somebody picked a really stupid hiding place? I mean, that in commercial, it shows these people, they were scared. It's kind of a horror commercial, and they were scared, and it shows the picture of a car that started right there, and they could hop in the car and get away, and then one of them has a bright idea. No, let's go hide in the garage. And in that garage is a bunch of chainsaws hanging. I think it was a makeoff of the chainsaw massacre thing. But they went into that dangerous place. And see, that's what some people do. They run to the wrong things. And we do that ourselves sometimes. We don't run to God. We run to other ideas we think's better. And what we do sometimes is that we hide behind masks, thinking that mask's going to keep us safe. See, right now, many people in our country are wearing masks. And that's, I'm not wanting to diss that. But they think that's a place of safety. It's going to keep them safe from everything. Now, that's going to help a bit. But there's other masks that you and I put on that we try to do these things to make us feel safe from the world around us. You know, one of the masks that sometimes we put on is the mask of alcohol or drugs. We try to hide behind that. We run to that. You know, when pressure is applied to our life, we can kind of tell what we put our trust in. You know, do we put our trust in God, or do we have our own things that we trust in? And I know that alcohol and drugs is a safety place for some people, but it really doesn't help. It just numbs the pain. It doesn't take it away. And see, I want to go to a place of healing, a place of protection. And that's why we need to get to God. You know, another place that we go to is sometimes we try to hide between the mask of possessions or money. You know, we think that we're going to be safe. You know, there's a lot of people maybe have a lot of money in their bank account right now, and they don't have any concerns about what's going on. They feel safe. They feel secure. You know, I remember somebody when I was in high school, one of the substitute teachers, I still remember this. You know, sometimes they would tell them more information than they should have, but she would say how her husband had a number in his checkbook. And I can't remember, it was $10,000. He was a farmer or something. And, you know, farming's expensive. You got to buy seed. You got to fix your, you know, tractors and things like that. But when his checkbook dropped below $10,000 or something, he got really nervous. He lost his protection. But as long as he was above $10,000, he felt safe. And see, there's a lot of people that feel safe based on how much they have. But all that can be wiped away. It can be taken away just in a moment. And that's why it's okay to have a nest egg. But, you know, that nest egg can crack. And all the contents can be spilled out. Another thing that some people hide behind is perfectionism. The mask of perfectionism. You know, as long as I'm in control, everything's okay. And see, I can control this and I can keep this going. I can spin this plate. I can spin that plate. Everything's going fine as long as I can control everything and have all the answers. But newsflash, you're not in control. None of us are in control. We think we are, but we're really not. There's only one that's really in control, and that's God. And He knows the day, and He knows the hour, He knows the minute. And that's the one we need to draw close to. You know, last one, kind of a funny one, is the idea of social distancing. You know, some people hide behind the mask of social distancing. I think of Sasquatch right now. He's probably the pro. You know, he's the master of it. You know, but, you know, and even before it was fashionable, I know some people that would not let anybody get close to them. And that was their sense of protection. It was their safe place. Maybe they've been hurt. You know, maybe in a relationship and somebody's let them down. Somebody stabbed them in the back. And those things happen in life. And so we try to distance ourselves from relationships, but there's no safety there. What it is we're all alone, and we need to let other people in. One thing we have to understand, instead of getting behind a mask, we need to hide under the shelter of God, you know, under those wings of protection, just like that little, them little baby eagles. I'll tell you what, they felt really secure because there ain't nobody going to mess with mama. And I know in my life, nobody messed with my mama either, you know, because that's a place of protection. Lastly, I want to look at today is how we need to live in our safe place, how important it is to get to that place. You know, God's protection is not a place we just visit, but we need to abide there. We need to live there. We need to get to that place. A lot of people, you know, when it rains, have you ever ran for shelter? You know, and maybe like at a gas station to have those big canopies. And you can, when it's pouring down rain, and maybe you're on foot or on a bicycle or a motorcycle or something, and you get to that shelter. You get under that canopy because then you're safe from the storm. What do you do when the storm is over? We leave, don't we? But see, it's different with God. See, we shouldn't leave that canopy of protection. We shouldn't leave that place. The Bible talks about us living there or abiding there. Actually, the two words we're going to look at is to dwell and abide. The word dwell is talking about to live there or to run to God for shelter from the storm, the storms of life. You know, rain is a small problem, but there's other storms that we have. You know, maybe we have sickness, or maybe we have, you know, relationship problems. Maybe we have job problems. All these things are trying to come in to rob our joy, to push us down instead of picking us up. And see, when those things happen, we can get discouraged. Maybe feel like we're going to give up and not take another step. But see, that's why we need to dwell. We need to live under God's protection. And, oh, I know the battle's going to be hard. You know, this is easier said than done, but that's why we need faith. We have to put faith in what we say we believe, and we need to start to trust God. And the next thing, it talks about the word abide there in the scripture. And the word abide talks about lodge or the stay tonight. You know, we need to just hang there. You know, I don't know about you, but if I'm on the road or a long trip, how many love to find a good bed? You know, I do. I mean, I like my sleep. I don't get much of it. I sleep in short periods, but when a guy's got to sleep, a guy's got to sleep. So we can lodge there. You know, my dad used to tell me when I was a kid, he teased me a little bit. He said the cowboys always slept with one eye open, you know, meaning knowing what's going on around them, you know. But when we're in God's protection, we can close both our eyes for that period of time. And then when we wake up, we come our focus right back on Him. See, having God as our hiding place, to me, is not an act of weakness, but it's knowing where to find a place of safety and strength. See, we need that place of immunity, that place where we can go to so that we can feel strong and secure. And it's not an act of weakness because we're all born broken. Every one of us is broken in one way, shape, or form. All of us have issues in our life that we need to deal with and we need to grow through and not just accept that this is the way it's going to be for the rest of our life. God can change you. He changed me. I was messed up. But God got His hand on me, and I paid attention. I started to follow Him. I got into a good church like River Life Family Worship Center here, and people started to teach me things and show me a different way of life. And then my life changed. And now I, in turn, want to go help others. Because when we trust in God, you know, He's a refuge and fortress and a shield and bulwark. So He's a refuge and fortress. You know, when we get into that refuge place or that fortress place, it's a place of defense. When you're behind a fort, or if you also, it says here, a shield and a bulwark, those are things of protection. We all need protection. You know, some say the best defense is good offense. Well, that's true. But I mean, we need to also have a great defense too. And God is our defense. We need to have Him as our protector. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, He would be a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. But in order to enjoy that, they had to stay close to Him. They had to stay with Him. You know, He would reach out to them. But when God said, "We're moving, honey, you got to move. You got to get to the place where you're with Him." And that's the power of coming to know Jesus Christ in a personal way and to be led by the Spirit. Because if we're a child of God, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Just like God had led Corrie Ten Boom to be able to help the people around her and to make a difference. She stepped out in an area of faith. She risked her own neck. But yet God came through for her. And we need to know that God can come through for you and I. We need to make sure that the devil understands he has to go through God to get to you. You know, like I said, a little boy, I knew if I wanted to pet that baby calf, I had to go through mama, and it wasn't worth it. I waited till the little baby calf wandered away. Then I could go pet him. And see, the devil, he's waiting. He's a patient person. He has time on his hands, although his time is drawing short, I believe. But he's had thousands of years of practice. And he's waiting for you to wander away from the protection, and then he's going to attack. But as long as you stay close to the protection, that's a safe place. And that's where it comes also, we need to keep our eye on God. It's important that we focus and don't allow ourselves to be distracted, so it breaks our focus. See, the scripture in closing here, it says 1,000 may fall on one side and 10,000 on the other. See, we may look out and, you know, God bless the news. It keeps us informed. But there's not a whole lot of uplifting information on there, is there? It always tells us about all the bad things. And see, if we just focus, you know, maybe these people are fallen and these people failed. That's between them and God. But I want to make sure you understand what's between you and God. God says here that even though other people fail, even though other people may fall short, that you don't have to. Put your faith, put your trust in Him. Stay close to Him. And the Bible says that it will not approach you. It's kind of like we talked about the Passover message several weeks ago. When the blood supplied, the death angel had to pass by. And see, we're in that place of protection. You know, the enemy's going to look for easy prey. You know, that's why he waits for people to wander off. He's not going to, you know, get in there and start, you know, messing with somebody that has the protection of God on them. He's going to go for somebody easy and try to destruct and destroy as many other lives that he can. So in closing, I just want to mention, no matter what happens in life, we need to remember we have a safe place to go to. Don't think you've failed or gone too far that you can't run back to your Heavenly Father. Don't be like I was as I grew up as a kid and ran away from my parents. Be like a little child and run to them. It's that place of safety. You know, the harder life gets, the more we need God. And I believe in these last days, we really need God. So all we got to do is reach out to Him and let Him cover you with His wings. And you can find that place of security. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the power of Your Word, that life-changing Word, Lord, that comes into our heart and transforms us and makes us into the people that You want us to be. I pray for each person listening to my voice, Lord, that as they draw nigh to You, that, Lord, You're going to draw nigh to them. Lead us to that safe place, that place where we can go to be able to find safety and comfort and strength. And Lord, we lift all these things up to You in Jesus' name. Amen.